This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
He's a Clare Morris native, a world record holder, and he's walked nearly 6,000 kilometres across Europe completely barefoot. Eamon Keaveney set off from Istanbul last March and along the way broke the Guinness World Record for the longest barefoot walk, all while raising money and awareness for Friends of the Earth and Jigsaw. He's now back on Irish soil on the final stretch home to Mayo, and right now he's en route from Cork, still shoeless and still going strong. Eamon, thanks so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat. You're literally still on the road from Cork at the minute. How does it feel knowing that Clare Morris is nearly in sight?
Oh, I mean, I can't wait. Not that I wish to sort of wish away and forward to some nice places that I've passed through on the way, but it has been a long road, and I am very much looking forward to getting into Clare Morris and to be able to rest the feet for a while, and of course to meet friends and family when I get there.
Is this stretch more emotional, this part of the journey, more difficult than the beginning, perhaps? Or are you still kind of just keeping it all going the best way you can? Maybe it was all really difficult.
I suppose it's a different set of emotions. I think my body is kind of doing that thing when you know you're close to the finish line, and I think I'm getting a bit physically worn out, and so that's kind of difficult. But in terms of emotionally, it's kind of, I don't know, it's different because I know I'm going to be seeing people that I haven't seen at this point. When I get to Clare Morris, it'll have been an entire year. So it's really kind of like heightening in that sense, you know, that I'm just a few weeks away from doing that, when it's been, for most of the journey, it's been months and months and months away. So yeah, it's definitely, I don't know if it's necessarily more difficult or if it's just different, I think.
And how, dare I ask, I'm actually nearly a bit afraid to ask, how do your feet look at the minute? Because, I mean, doing this barefoot for an entire year, how does one even take care of your, like, how do you even mind your feet throughout all of that?
They are actually not in the best shape at the moment, because I recently had an infection in my foot, my left foot. I frequently step on thorns, and usually it's no problem. I take them out and they're hunky-dory. I think my immune system maybe is a bit worn down from walking, so I developed an infection. I did get treatment for it. I got antibiotics. So they're not looking too good at the minute. But in terms of care, I usually just wash them every evening. I wash them and I keep them dry as often as I can, which has been difficult this last part in Ireland for sure. But I just keep wash them, and they usually take care of themselves basically. And that certainly got me all the way back to Ireland without a problem. And it's only in the last little bit now that I've been struck down with a bit of an issue.
Even with the issue, though, I imagine that it's all made a little bit easier for you since you now have a Guinness World Record. When you crossed the Hungary-Austria border, I think, isn't that when you realised you had broken the record? I mean, what did that even feel like to you? Did it sink in?
Yeah, that was really cool. I mean, it was a sort of seminal moment because it was on the Austrian and Hungarian border. So I was finishing up walking in Hungary, and I spent a long time in Hungary because I was on the blue trails, basically. So 3 months of this entire trip were just in Hungary, and everywhere else it was by a much more direct path. So it was kind of a kind of confluence of moments, like finishing up with Hungary, finishing the blue trail. And then the cherry on top, of course, was beating the record, literally just before I crossed the border into Austria. And it felt really good. I mean, it's a major milestone, and to know that I'd kind of broken that barrier was fantastic. But at the same time, it's not as important to me to beat someone else's record so much as it is to kind of set my own. So while I was like fairly thrilled with it, I was also like, okay, come on, and we've a few thousand more kilometers left to go, you know.
And I know as well, even though it has been you doing this alone for the most part, the walk and everything, I know that you must have had a lot of help along the way to achieve all of this. Who have been your biggest supporters in your life?
Oh, easily, without a doubt, my girlfriend Ellie. She walked with me all the way from Istanbul to Vienna, so I had company for the first sort of half of the journey. And she herself would say, oh, you know, I'm only walking halfway, you know, and only halfway was over 3,000 kilometers, which was absolutely massive. We haven't broken up now or anything, because I've said that to a few people, you know, my girlfriend was with me until Vienna, and then they're like, oh, what happened? No, it was part of the plan. She had intended always to walk with me to Vienna. So that was fantastic. And then after that, of course, it was a bit more solitary. I did happen to meet some friends along the way, which was really nice. Both people I stayed with, and also some friends came to meet me in France. And now that I've gone to Ireland, I mean, the reception has just been absolutely incredible. I've been recognized, you know, by people along the way. I've had people stopping to give me food and water and stuff. Sometimes I've gone into shops, you know, and I've tried to buy a few things, and then I get to the till and they're like, oh, you know, oh, you're the man doing the barefoot thing. It's like, oh, you're grand, you know. So it's been just unreal, really, to be honest.
I feel like that's a real Irish thing about us, that we are so generous and we are so kind, and you can't go anywhere in Ireland without being spotted, for sure. And I'm sure wearing a walking barefoot definitely had some type of identifying factor for you in all of that. Why, when you were doing this, was it so important for you to link the challenge to both climate action and youth mental health?
So, like, if you're doing a big challenge like this, I mean, you have a great opportunity to raise funds for good causes and to kind of raise awareness for them as well. And it, I mean, I had conversations with my partner Ellie about this. We're talking about the charities that I'd like to support, and it was, you know, what's kind of important to me as a person. And I did raise money back in the day for suicide prevention, and mental health sort of remained very important to me. I met a lot of people on a previous walk who had been affected by suicide in particular, and some of the stories that you'd hear off of people would be just kind of, they'd really kind of stay with you for a long time. So that was something that has always kind of, you know, to this day remains quite important to me. But in recent years, I've also become a lot more concerned about the environment, as I think a lot of people have. And there was an element as well of the environment is kind of a global thing. And mental health is, I wouldn't say it's not a global issue, but obviously it's, you know, something that pertains to an individual person in a stricter sense. So I feel like it kind of, the two charities kind of cover both the kind of, you know, the individual level and at the environmental level, and that they kind of synergize quite well, because of course a lot of young people these days have somewhat negative outlooks about the future. And I don't say that with putting even a hint of blame there, but I mean, they, you know, people are very concerned that the world is going to be just absolutely on fire within the next century or sooner.
It's very understandable that so many people would have concerns about the world around them and the planet burning and things like that. So to have taken on those charities in particular is really, really powerful. When you're looking at the walk itself, was there a favourite place that you walked through?
A standout place for me would be Hungary, actually. Because in particular, so you could really kind of like take your time and just walking through the woods and the mountains in northern Hungary in particular was absolutely lovely. And I think people are kind of sleeping on Hungary a little bit, to be quite frank, because a lot of people go to Budapest, of course, and I've been to Budapest before myself, but there's a lot to offer in the rest of the place. But I mean, I've seen nice places in pretty much every country I've gone through. I've saw the Balkan Mountains in Bulgaria, the Carpathians then in Romania, and in Austria, there was a cycle path running along the length of the Danube, which was just utterly fantastic. It's also completely flat, so I got to make some great progress there. And lately I've really been enjoying just something that I missed was like the Irish countryside, you know, because, you know, just, I don't know, the lush green hills, there's something about them. They kind of capture that romantic element. They're absolutely lovely.
You're literally speaking like a tourist at the minute. And I'm sure the best place you're going to walk through could possibly be Claremorris. I imagine the finish line. What is the first thing, bar sitting down, that you're going to do when you get back to Claremorris?
Oh my God. Claremorris, yeah. I'm probably going to finish up in the square. And the thing that I have been thinking about for a long time is walking into Ward's Corner House and getting a nice pint of Guinness. That's something, I'm not going to lie, I've been looking forward to that for a long time. Oh, and obviously give my family a hug, you know, and all that important stuff.
See all the people that you haven't seen along the way in a year. Look, if people want to donate or follow along with your journey, where can they find you online at the minute?
The fundraiser is on idonate.ie/barefootacrosseurope. So it's all online and the proceeds go 50-50 to both charities. And you can also find me online on Barefoot Across Europe. That's on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. And I do like a little recap video each day, basically just kind of going over what happened and who I met and so on. And there's also, those profiles will have links to the donation thing on them as well. But yeah, idonate.ie, barefooted across Europe, for donations.
Before I let you go, anything else on the bucket list coming up this year? I mean, you've walked Ireland barefoot, you've crossed Europe barefoot, you've unicycled Malin to Mizzen. What possibly could be left for you?
I think what I would say would be, I have no plans, and I have no plans to make plans. With a dose of, or a dollop of, never say never, do you know? This walk has been something I've been kind of thinking of in some form or another for since the end of my last walk, which was in 2016. So it's coming on like 10 years ago now. And I always wanted to do another big walk, and it's slowly kind of over the years formed into walking from Istanbul to Ireland. So that was a long burner. I don't currently have something in the pipeline, but yeah, I mean, you never know. But for now, I'm just looking forward to kind of crossing the finish line.
I think you've done enough for now, Eamon. I think you've definitely done enough now to last a lifetime. I'm sure there'll be something else in the future. Thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat, and the very best of luck with the rest of the journey until you hit the homeland of Claremorris.
Thanks very much, Valerie. Cheers.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.